Well, the sower and will not tarry long, as we spoke this morning. And praise the Lord that there are some that bear fruit. Amen. And we talked about that this morning, how if you are wayward ground, you don't have to stay wayward ground. Amen. You can, as the Bible says, you can till up that fallow ground. Amen. And make it so the seed can have good soil to be received. And thank God that there are some that are productive in their soil. But the Lord Jesus discusses the seed that is sown by the wayside here in our text. In chapter 8, verse 5, he said, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he states that it was trodden down by the fowls, and then that the fowls of the air devoured it. And as he later explained in this parable, that he was making a statement that is the springboard of our message tonight. There it says in verse 12, those that are by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil. Let me just by introduction talk to you about the reality of the devil. There is a real, literal devil tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He goes out and he does his bidding. He exists, amen. And it's a foolish person who thinks that there is no devil. Turn on the news. You want to know there's a devil? Turn on the news, amen. You see all these horrible things that happens. Job chapter 1 verse 6 talks about when the angels would come before God, but then also the Bible says that Satan came to present himself. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Not only is we see the reality of the devil. Why don't you notice in our text verse the power of the devil? By the way, he's not all powerful. Only God is all powerful, amen? And God can whoop the devil anytime he wants to. But the devil has real power, ladies and gentlemen. You say, where do you get that? Look at verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. You know, I've been saved long enough and got saved out of wickedness to know the devil has power not only to steal thoughts out of our hearts, but to plant thoughts in our heads. You know where most church splits start? Devil planting thoughts in people's heads. See, he's powerful, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, speaking of the Antichrist. So he's powerful, he's real, he's organized. The organization of the devil. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God. Why? Because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because the devil's not omnipotent and omnipresent, he's got a lot of his imps doing his work. But he's organized, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they do such a good job of a bad work. They're organized. The devil's organized. Something else he is, he's subtle. He's subtle. We learn that just right about him right in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, then cometh the devil. When you can expect the devil to show up in your life. Let me give you a few things. Number one, the point number one, when can we expect the devil? When we are babes in Christ. When we are babes in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Peter 2:2 talks about how newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. There are two examples that we can see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament when the devil shows up to slay the babe. And that is, of course, in Exodus chapter 1. The Pharaoh gives the decree, hey, all male babies were to be slain. And if you'll study that out, you'll find that the devil was trying to destroy the Redeemer. He was trying to destroy the line of the Messiah. But the principle remains the same for us. Is the fact that, listen, if the devil can get you to be spiritually ineffective when you're a babe, he can literally damn millions of souls to hell. So he comes after us when we're babes in Christ. He says, don't read that Bible. You don't need that Bible. You don't need fellowship. He comes after us when we're babes. Why? Because, listen, if you're going to grow up and win souls to Christ, He doesn't want that. Amen? So He comes after us when we're babes. The New Testament of that, we find it in Matthew. Remember Herod in Matthew chapter 2 slew all the babies of Bethlehem. Why? He's trying to kill Jesus. The devil has the same plan for you. Listen, young people, praise God for you. You're babes in Christ. You're just getting to know the Word of God. Boy, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. He comes when we're babes in Christ. Number two, something else we could see in the Bible. He comes when we have experienced a great victory. Oh, the story of Elijah. I love Elijah. My favorite Old Testament prophet is Elijah. And Elijah got on Mount Carmel. He said, hey, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, great. If Baal be God, great. But make a decision. And then, of course, they had that contest. And who's going to answer by fire? Whichever God answered by fire. They did all that cutting and yelling and screaming. And Elijah mocked them. He said, hey, where's your God? Is he on a journey or is he sleeping? Where's he at? And then he said, hey, I know we've been in drought for years, but bring some water. Bring some more. Bring some more. And he prayed that 37-word prayer and God answered by fire. Amen. Pray. The Bible says the fire licked up the water. He slew those false prophets. But then one chapter over, Brother Horsch, the Bible says he's sitting under a juniper tree and he requested of himself that he might die. You say, how could that happen? Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I look forward to victories. I'm glad for the service we had last Sunday morning. Amen. I'm glad for the 50 or so extra that we had last Sunday morning. I'm glad for victories, and I think that too many Christians are constantly living in defeat when they should be living in victory. But you listen to me, after a victory, then cometh the devil. Young people had some great victories this week. Then cometh the devil. Be on guard. Amen. Beware. Be ready. He shows up after a great victory. Listen, if he can discourage someone like Elijah, who are you and I? Amen. That great Christian that Elijah was, something else we see in our verse here. We see when we're babes in Christ, he comes, then cometh the devil. When we've experienced a great victory, number three, when we are at our weakest, then cometh the devil. Job chapter 2, verse 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Can you say this? So many times Satan hits us when we're down, doesn't he? And you know what? He never stops hitting us when we're down. Did you ever play Mercy when you were a kid? Amen. Mercy, you'd lock hands with somebody. And I had big hands too, so I love playing Mercy. You know? And you'd say, mercy, 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 and that person would stop. Listen to me. Satan has no mercy. He never, if you're down and he's kicking you, you know what? He's just going to keep kicking you when you're at your weakest. Remember here, Satan strikes Job with boils after he's already killed all his oxen and servants. He's destroyed his sheep with fire from heaven. He's stolen his camels and killed his servants and killed all 10 of his children. And then he comes and smites him with boils. Satan has no... By the way, thank God Satan's authority is limited by God. Amen? We have a Heavenly Father that cares for us and can limit His authority. And how important it is that when we're weak, that we walk with God when we're at our weakest. Why? Because He promised that my grace would be sufficient for you. But He comes when we're at our weakest. Then cometh the devil. When we're babes in Christ, when we've experienced a great victory, when we're at our weakest. How about this, ladies and gentlemen? Number four, when we attempt something for God, then the devil shows up. Have you ever made a commitment to start reading your Bible again? And that next day, you start to read your Bible and you go, phew. And the first time you yawned all day was when you started to read your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, but Satan hindered us. One of the great works of Satan is his hindering work. When you attempt something for God, hey, listen, young people, you decide to get rid of that ungodly music, you can bet then cometh the devil. Amen? You decide to stop watching that program that's giving you so much trouble. You decide that you're going to start in and out gospel tracts and come out for soul winning and work a new ministry for God. Then cometh the devil. When you attempt something big for God, isn't it amazing how when you do that, Satan or one of his imps will do their dead level best to keep you from it? How many of us have said, I'm going to church on Wednesday night. And by the way, boy, we had a low crowd Wednesday. One of our lowest crowds. You say, I'm going to go to church on Wednesday night. And then this came up, and that came up, and that came up, and that came up. Why? Because you're attempting to do something for God. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, don't quit attempting. Amen. Just because you gave up on a resolution doesn't mean God won't give you a fresh start. Amen. He will. Praise God. When we're babes in Christ, when we've experienced a great victory, when we're at our weakest, when we attempt something for God, right here in our text, when we sow the seed of God's Word. Amen? Verse number 11 says, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Those that are by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their hearts. Mark 4:14-15 says, the sower soweth the Word, these are by the wayside where the Word is sown. By the way, Satan is in the business of stealing seed. Satan is in the business of keeping seed in the barn. Satan is in the business of sowing tares amongst the good seed. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it blesses my heart that I have to tell Mrs. Jones on Monday, get some tracks in that rack. Because they cleared out on Sunday. Amen? Why? What is our business? We talked about it this morning. Our business is to be seed sowers. That's our business, to be seed sowers. And how many times, praise the Lord, after we start sowing seeds, have I got an irate phone call from somebody, amen, in a trailer park, Pastor John? I don't know why you people keep leaving this propaganda on our door, and please stop it. Well, amen. Then cometh the devil. By phone, amen. What a blessing. But hey, that doesn't discourage us from sowing seed. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to discourage us that according to our text this morning, that 75% of the seeds that we sow won't bear fruit. Hey, listen, if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. You say it's only 25%, 25% more than most people. Amen? We said that about our VBS. Somebody said, oh, we had 28 kids saved, but how many of them really meant it? More than if we didn't have a VBS. Amen. Listen, I know what it is to see the devil show up and so on. I was a brand new Christian. I'll never forget this. Like, where's my wife? She in the nursery? She is in the nursery with little Eric. Amen. I was a brand new Christian, putting my wife on a plane to go down to Virginia and see her folks. Listen, I just heard my pastor say you ought to carry tracts, and I got saved through a tract, so I started carrying tracts and handing them out. Well, I got out there, and it was like 4 degrees in New England in January, which it always is, amen. It's just 4 degrees from January to April, amen. And I went, and I went, and there was a man outside, and he was so nice to take your bags. They're so nice to do that, amen. At least I thought that's what they were, really, really nice, amen. And I didn't realize they wanted money. I said, I already gave a lot of money to pay for this flight, amen? And so I didn't realize it. Now, I know it now. By the way, if you see those people now, ladies and gentlemen, hear this story, know it's a naive young man, and tip them when you give them a gospel tract. I didn't tip them, okay? I just gave him a gospel tract. And I remember, oh, he just, don't you give that to me. I don't want anything to do with that. Whereas if I'd had a $5 bill in it, he would have said, thank you very much. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, that at first I was taken aback. I said, my goodness. Well, I found out, when you sow seed, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. At another time, a man at work, I was telling Brother Horsey about it yesterday, a man at work, I just figured, when I got saved, I figured everybody would want to know how to go to heaven. I said, why wouldn't you want to know? This is wonderful. I gave a gospel tract to a guy at work, and he just absolutely blew his stack and said things that I couldn't say in a bar room and told me to never give him anything again. Why? Because when you sow seed, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. By the way, the seed is what they need, ladies and gentlemen. We hit that this morning. The seed that we have, this life-giving Word being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. We'll reap bountifully if we sow bountifully. In St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there's a stained glass window depicting a man sowing seed. It was presented as a memorial to a man named Samuel A. Burnett. Mr. Burnett devoted his entire lifetime to sowing the seed of the Word of God in the wicked East End of London. The plaque underneath it reads, "Dedicated to Samuel A. Burnett, who served in East London for 50 years, and who feared not to sow despite the birds." Ladies and gentlemen, let that be said of us, that we feared not to sow despite Satan's birds that come and scoop up the seed. He comes when we're babes in Christ. He comes when we've experienced a great victory. He comes when we're at our weakest. He comes when we attempt something for God. He comes when we sow the seed. He comes when we least expect it. Doesn't he? He comes when we least expect it. Luke chapter 22, you have the story of Jesus and Simon Peter. And Jesus says to him, he said, "Hey, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you." And what does Peter say? He said, "Hey, listen, I'm ready to go with you to the end, to the death, you name it, I'll do it." And then what happened? By the way, he proved it when he cut off Malchus's ear. Amen. He said, "I'm ready." But what happened? We learn that he denied the Lord three times. After he thought he'd go to the death. You see, he comes when we least expect it, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, Satan himself is transformed as to an angel of light." Didn't he come when Adam and Eve least expected it? Did they expect him to show up and tempt? Of course not. By the way, one of the great end chapters of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, you know, we've got a millennial reign of Christ. We've got 1,000 years of righteousness, and Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. What happens at the end? Satan gets let loose and deceives the nations when they least expect it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you think you're invulnerable, mark it down. Here he comes. Then cometh the devil, when we least expect it. Number 7, when we yield to temptation, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. I think of the story, and of course, obviously we mentioned Peter, but I think of Judas. Think of Judas in Matthew chapter 27 and how he'd given into sin for so long and rejected the Lord for so long that what happened? The devil came and said, "Why don't you just kill yourself? You're worthless." I heard a story of a class of young people. And the teacher was teaching and he said, "What would you have done if you were Judas?" And a little girl, with a tear in her eye, raised her hand. She said, "If I was Judas and I'd betrayed the Lord, I would have fell down at his feet and wrapped my arms around his legs and asked him to forgive me. And he would have." But see, Judas betrayed the Lord and then cometh the devil. He said, "You're worthless." By the way, doesn't he say that to you after you sin? Yield to temptation? Or do we have visitors from heaven tonight? Amen. He says that to me. When I yield to temptation, he says, "You're worthless. You can't possibly be a preacher. You can't possibly be a Christian and do that or do this or do that." Then cometh the devil when we yield to temptation. Hey, by the way, young people, that's why we say this all the time. It's a whole lot better to walk away from the bait than it is to try and wiggle off the hook when you yield to temptation. Think about Peter. Found this out. Peter spied. He followed afar off. Then he denied. Then he lied. Then he denied again. Then he alibied. Then he denied. Then he cried. And then he reoccupied his position as a fisherman. He quit the ministry. When you yield to temptation, then cometh the devil to tell you you're useless. You're no good. You're unspiritual. You're obviously not a real Christian. You're better off dead. Then cometh the devil after we yield to temptation. Number 8. So important. When we will not settle conflicts, then cometh the devil. You say, where do you get that, Pastor? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, when we don't have the mind of Christ in regards to settling squabbles, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Did you know the number one cause of divorce is not adultery? It's not. The number one cause of divorce is not pornography. The number one cause of divorce is not drunkenness or spousal abuse. The number one cause of divorce is unresolved conflict. See, it started out real small. And then you didn't resolve it. And it became bigger. And the next thing you know, Pastor John, there's this wedge in a marriage that people can't even speak to each other. I've been in churches where people on this side couldn't speak to people on this side. You listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're just inviting the devil in your life when you won't settle conflicts. We need to settle conflicts. They fester and become, and verse 31 says, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. And it's funny because the solution is right there at the end of the text. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. My goodness, let's just be a little forgiving to a brother or sister, amen? Let's have a little grace in our hearts to a brother or sister when we won't settle conflicts. Lastly, He comes when we're babes in Christ. He comes when we've experienced a great victory. He comes when we're at our weakest. He comes when we attempt something for God. He comes when we sow the seed of God's Word. He comes when we least expect it, when we yield to temptation, when we will not settle conflicts. And lastly, He comes when we are lifted up with pride. 1 Timothy 3:6, one of the qualifications of a pastor is that not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Again, it's a qualification for a pastor, but the application is to every one of God's people. God hates pride. And you listen to me, as long as you have flesh, you're going to be full of pride. Full of pride. Why? Because you've got an old nature. That old nature likes to rear its ugly head. And you know what we need to keep doing? We need to keep killing it. Amen? We need to keep putting that old nature down, mortifying the flesh, lifting up the Spirit, reading the Word of God, praying, sowing the seed of the Word of God. But when we're lifted up with pride, by the way, that's still one of the six things, yea, seven, that God hates. As a matter of fact, it's the first thing, a proud look. And God judges pride, ladies and gentlemen. Pride goeth for destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, when we're proud, when we're stiff-necked and we won't receive the correction of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, mark it down, then cometh the devil. You say, what can we do, Pastor? We can be on guard. We can be on guard. We can be sober. We can be vigilant. And by the way, the best way to look out for the devil is to check out his game plan. This is the only book that has Satan's game plan in it. That's why he doesn't want you to read it. Amen? This is the only one that the Bible says that we're not ignorant of his devices, his tactics, the way they use the world and the flesh and the devil. But if, ladies and gentlemen, if we have to dust it off every Sunday, listen, we don't stand a chance, Mr. Jordan. We don't stand a chance against the devil. You know what we need to do also? We need to pray and enlist the help of the Savior. We talked last week about how a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Aren't you glad you got an elder brother to fight your battles? Amen. When we were studying Jude and we talked about how Michael, who was the only one in the Bible called an archangel, he didn't mess with devil, he didn't mess with Satan, he said, the Lord rebuked thee. And you know what you say when you decide that you're not going to give in to temptation and I'm going to settle my conflicts and I'm going to be ready for Him? You say, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. I'm going to do my part and ask God to do His part. We said that over and over and over. In our Sunday school class, we said, God asks us to do the possible and then He does the impossible. Well, hey, if you got somebody you're cross with, settle it. And then you know what the Bible says? That when we resist the devil, he flees. Amen? He flees. What's our only weapon we have against the devil? The Word of God. Jesus used it three times in the temptation. The Word of God. Use the Word of God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Then cometh the devil. Let's bow our heads.